From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation or on the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, ancient stone circles and their strange meanings. Here's what's happening. A jury has found decorated Navy SEAL Edward Eddie Gallagher not guilty on almost all charges he was facing, including murder and attempted murder and the killing of an Islamic State member in Iraq. Gallagher was accused of fatally stabbing a 15-year-old ISIS fighter to death back several years ago and posing with the corpse for photos. Now, he faced seven criminal charges. Six of the most serious charges included premeditated murder, willfully discharging a firearm to endanger human life, retaliation against members of his platoon for reporting his alleged actions, obstruction of justice, and the attempted murders of two non-combatants, all of which he was found not guilty. He was found guilty of the seventh charge, posing for a photo with a casualty, which carries a maximum prison sentence of 4 months. At least 14 sailors died after a Russian Navy deep-sea submersible caught fire underwater during a research mission. The vessel caught fire unexpectedly while the submersible was measuring sea depths in Russia's territorial waters. Austrian herbicide ban is adding problems for Roundup owner Bayer. Lawmakers have voted to ban the use of glyphosate, the world's most widely used herbicide, which Bayer insists does not cause cancer if used as indicated. Bayer is currently facing lawsuits from more than 13,000 plaintiffs alleging that Roundup gave them cancer. While the Austrian decision has no direct bearing on the suits and the country is negligibly small market for Roundup, the ban could complicate Bayer's public efforts to defend the use of the product as safe and environmentally friendly. Millions of people are putting their eyesight at risk by continuing to smoke, warn specialists. Despite the clear connection, only one in five people recognize that smoking can lead to blindness, according to a poll of the Association of Optometrists. Smokers are twice as likely to lose their sight compared with non-smokers. That's because tobacco smoke can cause and worsen a number of eye conditions, so just be aware of that. Packaged fresh vegetables sold under the Green Giant and Trader Joe's brands are being recalled because they may be contaminated with bacteria that causes listeria, a disease that can cause serious and sometimes fatal infections. The products under recall include packaged varieties of butternut squash, cauliflower, zucchini, butternut squash-based veggie bowls, according to the U.S. FDA. Let's check in with our food safety coach, Jeff Nelkin. Jeff, here we go with another recall.
Good evening, George. How are you?
Good. They don't seem to ever stop.
Well, you know, this listeria is a tough organism. It likes to hide, you know, in a lot of cracks and crevices. And, you know, we have to review the sanitation standards of, you know, the facilities, everything from hand washing to making sure that people are their boots and shoes are sanitized before they walk into these food processing areas because, again, listeria is carried on a lot of these surfaces, and we got to be real, you know, vigilant with them.
Are some of these companies just negligent, Jeff, in terms of their cleaning techniques?
I wouldn't say negligent. It's a question of, a lot of times, of reviewing their processes, and it's sometimes, you know, it could be rusty equipment, it could be cracks in the floors, you know, yeah. So they have to kind of, you have to be like a detective, like CSI, and you've got to be able to look at the processes that are being, you know, followed, as well as testing, you know, the area frequently, you know, to see, you know, what's going on.
FoodSafetyCoach.com, that's Jeff's website. Thank you, Jeffrey. An Australian family is still grieving over the unexpected loss of their father, who fell gravely ill after eating a gecko on a dare. David Dowell was reportedly challenged to eat the small lizard at a Christmas party last year and was rushed to the hospital 2 days later in absolute agony, where he eventually died. Jeez. As Americans prepare to celebrate the 4th of July holiday, their pride in the U.S. has apparently hit its lowest point since Gallup's first measurement in 2001. While 70% of the U.S. adults overall say they are proud to be Americans, this includes fewer than half of the 45% who are extremely proud, marking the second consecutive year this reading is below the majority level. Well, if they polled me, I'm proud to be an American. Stuck between a rock and a quiet place? You're not alone. Nielsen's new total audience report finds that the average TV viewer takes 7 minutes just to pick what to watch. Chalk it up to too much choice. The proliferation of streaming services such as Netflix and Amazon and Hulu and video on demand options is leading to what they call paralysis among consumers. Let's check in with our expert, Lauren Weinstein. What's this all mean, Lauren?
Well, it means that there's an extreme amount of fragmentation going on in the streaming services marketplace, and it's only going to get worse because there's this tug of war going on now over popular shows. For example, The Office is apparently the most popular show on Netflix. It's been a cash cow for them to bring in subscribers. But NBC now wants to take that back because NBC wants to run their own streaming service. Same thing's happened with Disney. Disney had a lot of films on Netflix.
That's right.
Disney now has started their own streaming service. They're taking back their content. And, of course, there are all kinds of niche services, right? You mentioned Hulu, of course, and Amazon, Criterion Channel, Curiosity Channel. There's a streaming service for British TV. There's all the video-on-demand choices that the ISPs themselves, the cable companies themselves, offer. There's the aggregators like Sling and DirecTV Now and YouTube TV. So it goes on and on and on, and you get it. And Warner is going to be starting a big movie package and other content package later this year, apparently. So from a consumer standpoint, how many of these can you subscribe to? How many can you afford to subscribe to? And even if you had unlimited money for that, how are you going to decide what you're going to watch, right? There's so much stuff. You might want one program only from each of these services. It's just a mess when there's this kind of fragmentation. And just from a technical standpoint, they're all different, right? The user interfaces are different. The quality of the video is different. The problems you may have with the service and logging in and logging out and bookmarks, all these things, they're all different. So it's becoming less and less consumer-friendly. Ultimately, a lot of these are going to have to wash out. I mean, it's just impossible for all of these niche services to operate forever. And a lot of them are probably going to die off sooner rather than later. But it's very likely that for a lot of consumers to get the mix of programs that you really want, you're still going to end up having to buy into multiple services and paying a lot more than you expected to. And, of course, the promise of streaming services all along was, well, you'll be paying less than through the cable company, right? Well, we'll see what really happens.
You're going to be around this weekend? Stay by your phone. I could use you.
No problem.
You got it. Lauren Weinstein, our expert on all these Internet matters. The war on smog has been called one of America's greatest environmental successes. Decades of emissions citing regulations under a bipartisan law, the 1970 Clean Air Act, have eased the choking pollution that once shrouded U.S. cities. Cleaner air has saved lives and strengthened the lungs of Los Angeles children, for example. But now the air quality is starting to slip again. Bad air days are ticking up across the nation, and emissions reductions are slowing. The most notable setback has been with the ozone, the lung-damaging gas and smog that builds up in warm, sunny weather and triggers asthma attacks and other health problems that can be deadly. Just be careful. In a moment, Ilana Freeland back with us. Her latest work, Under an Ionized Sky, The Chemtrails to Space Fence Lockdown, next on Coast to Coast AM. We've got a great program for you tonight, kicking it off. Ilana Freeland back with us. She has written several books, her latest, Under an Ionized Sky. She's a writer, speaker, great storyteller, teacher who researches and writes on deep state issues, including stories of survivors of MKUltra, which we've talked about, ritual abuse, invasive directed energy weapons. And having come of age in the Eye of the 60s and Maelstrom, Ilana also has written the four-book fictional format series Sub Rosa America, which is a deep state history about the hidden history of America since President Kennedy's assassination in 1963. And here she is back on Coast to Coast. Looking forward to this. Great work, by the way, Ilana.
Thank you, George. I'm so glad to be back.
Hey, wanted to ask you, are you following the story where Americans in the Cuban and Chinese embassies are coming down very sick, and they think they may be getting hit with some kind of very special directed energy weapon?
Oh, yes. I've been following that very much. And it seems that it's obvious to me that it behaves like infrasound, and it's certainly not the first time that embassies have been hit. I don't know if you remember back in the 70s when the Moscow embassy, the U.S. embassy, was being hit by the Russians. So, you know, the ongoing experimentation with directed energy weapons is the name of the game today, as far as I can see.
Why would they want to hit embassies like that? They can test this any place they want. Why there?
Well, it's like testing your property in another nation, and you know, you're offshore. You're not domestic, really, but in another way, you are still domestic, even though you're in a solitary nation, not your own. It seems to me that the experimentation, it's not just going on in the Cuban embassy or any other embassy. It's going on right here in domestic America. I'm sure that you've heard from some of your guests about the targeting going on today, which is directed energy weapon experimentation, training of agents.
Yep.
I mean, you know, it's an ugly story, but we all need to know it.
Exactly. Now, tell us a little bit about this latest work, Under an Ionized Sky.
Well, it kind of has to do with what we've just been talking about, in that the second half of the title, From Chemtrails to Space Fence Lockdown, I'm really serious about the lockdown, that we have a ground infrastructure now of basically wireless technology and radar installations, NEXRADs, fracking wells, wind farms, cell phones, cell towers, Gwen towers. We have this amazing array on the Earth. And then in space, up in the next atmosphere up, we have also a lot of heavy metals. Nanoscale metals are released either from airplane engines and JP-8 fuel, or specifically scattered chaff up there to increase conductivity for the sake of communications, what the military calls C4, command, control, communications, and cyber warfare. So in a way, we're caught in this net of wireless technology with nanoscale heavy metal particles that aid them in their conductivity in our atmosphere and the atmosphere above us. So all of this, and I think the reason I write these books is I'm upset about the fact that Americans are not being told this, and we need to have less National Security Act consciousness when you're actually affecting people in your own nation. I mean, we're breathing this stuff, George.
Yep.
It's falling on us, and it's in our bloodstream. It's in our brains. I mean, how much heavy metal detox can we do if we don't know that it's happening to us? You were talking about pollution. This is the hidden pollution that I want everyone to know, so that we can become responsible to defend ourselves at the very least, because I don't see that the military-industrial intelligence complex is really going to stop this because we don't like it or we have health issues. You can't even talk about health issues regarding wireless towers. You know, it's as if the entire planet is being weaponized, and that's what I attempt to bring forward, is the possibility that something is really out of hand, and yet we can't see it because it's an invisible technology. It's in our air. You know, I mean, do you remember 20 years ago when someone told you that someday we'd be buying water?
nobody would believe it.
Nobody believed it.
Like that.
It.
I mean, sure, we pay for it out of the spigot, but nobody thought it would be coming in little plastic jugs.
Exactly. And so, you know, in this case, if indeed the air is being injected with all sorts of chemicals, nanoscale particles that avail the military-industrial intelligence complex of an atmosphere that's friendly to constant 24/7 wireless, if that's going on, where are we going to go like they used to in Tokyo, where you could go put a quarter in and breathe some real air? We can't. It's the entire atmosphere, because we're living in an envelope of air, and we need it, just like we need good water, just like we need good soil. But this whole thing is going on sub rosa. I love that term. It's from the Middle Ages. It basically means hidden below the rose. And we're not being told, and that's all I want. I want it part of the dialogue. I don't want just climate change, carbons, global warming, ice age, solar minimum. I want, let's talk about the military agenda in what Catherine Austin Fitz calls the secret space program. That's all I want.
Well, other countries are doing the same thing, aren't they?
Well, they have to. Don't they?
Yeah, I'm convinced
to
of that.
To defend themselves, yeah. At least I know Russia and China, or maybe India. But it's very expensive. This is basically astrophysics, plasma physics, and it requires a real investment and a huge black budget. And, of course, that's what Catherine has found, that she said at first it was $21 trillion was missing from our budget for probably the secret space program. But now it appears that she said in another interview she recently did that it was $60 trillion missing. So what's up? What's going on in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I got to tell you, one of my colleagues who does his show on KFI in Los Angeles, Tim Conway, right before you came on, was chatting to me about chemtrails, and he says they just never seem to go away.
No.
Where, you know, jet vapor kind of dissipates.
Right.
Chemtrails stay there forever, it seems.
That's right. And it's because they are chemical trails. You know, I mean, it's amazing how that term chemtrails, and I know I mentioned this before when I was on your show, that, you know, it's a U.S. Air Force Academy term, and yet it's been turned on its head to make you sound like a tinfoil hat nut. And it isn't. That's just the cover story. The real story is the sky is being injected constantly. It has to be, because those nanoparticles, as tiny as they are, if they're released in the stratosphere, some of them have to fall. I mean, gravity does exist. Whereas a lot of them can remain in the stratosphere and get caught up in centrifugal force of the Earth's turning, and they end up forming a ring around the equator. And that's why I have on the cover of my recent book a picture of the planet Earth looking rather like Saturn with a ring around it, because those particles, which are conductive, which are used for communications, even in the solar system, I think is definitely part of the plan. Some of them end up in that ring are forming it right around the planet. I can only, you know, I try to make the picture big because I want people to understand that this is all part of a space program that has not really been talked up. It's not at all like President Kennedy had in mind. It's been weaponized, and therefore it's shrouded beneath security clearances. So, but you can find just about everything on the net that you would need to build a very strong argument based on, yes, circumstantial evidence, but we're talking papers, military papers, talking patents, and articles that all, if you put it all together, you can see what is being formed around us, and we're sort of caught in what Elon Musk likes to call a neural mesh in our very environment. I mean, it's bizarre that you could weaponize the environment in order to carry forth various agendas. But also, and I do bring this up in this next book I'm writing, I hope the final one, on synthetic biology and transhumanism, you can actually use the environment to possibly change the very genetic makeup of human beings and life on Earth. And that's very scary to me.
Stay with us, Lana. Much more to talk with you about when we come back in a moment. And then, of course, next hour, we flip the switch and take phone calls with you right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Ilana Freeland with us. Her latest book, Under an Ionized Sky. We'll tell you in a moment how you can get this. It's an incredible read. Ilana, back in 2008, the Chinese hosted the Summer Olympics, and they were having some strange upcoming weather. And the reporters asked them, what are you going to do about the weather? And they said, don't worry, we control it. Now, isn't that an admission right there?
Well, yeah, but you know, I didn't get too excited about that because they were saying it on a local level. And I think every place in America, anyway, has some sort of local, either an ionization program where the air over the a relatively small area can be you can bring the rain. Your daughter's getting. I remember reading one about, you know, some guy's daughter was getting married on a certain weekend, so he bought an ionization package by which he could be assured that there would be clear weather that day. So on a local level, they're still using silver iodide or doing ionization, but this is planetary, George.
That's right.
Big. I mean, originally when I wrote the first book, Chemtrails Harp and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth in 2014, I was looking just at NATO countries because I couldn't really get any real data about other countries, and that's actually still my situation, though I can kind of, you know, put two and two together from various news reports that come out. Yes, local is always going on. There's always a weather department in a state, a city, an area. But this is on a whole other scale. And the second part of it is that, yeah, the weather, but there's all sorts of agendas going on besides the weather that have to do with that secret space program I maintain and with the future of transhumanism and changing us from the environment within. Instead of changing us from within our own bodies, we're going to be changed from the outside by what we're breathing in, is what I'm saying. It looks like it's true.
Now, you're subtitled to your book, Under an Ionized Sky, From Chemtrails to Space Fence Lockdown. What does space fence lockdown mean?
Well, the space fence goes all the way back to the Reagan era, when we had first had the SDI program, the Strategic Defense Initiative, and we called it the Star Wars program because, remember, the Star Wars came out in 1977,
yep.
the fictional series.
The movie, yeah.
Were so amazing. You know, everybody just loved them. I certainly did. I stood out in Seattle with my five-year-old son waiting to go in practically with bated breath, and it did not disappoint at all at that time. But the Star Wars program was the SDI program, and at that time we had a space fence, and that would be a chain of radar installations across the southern and sort of Midwest states from one coast to another. But you know, all it said it was doing, it was sort of like a SETI program looking to see what's coming in, but it was really looking for missiles. And in a defense manner, which, you know, the Cold War was still going on. So, but that kind of disappeared under President Clinton. The SDI program was buried, which to me often means it went black. I think it was renamed the Ballistic Missile Defense Program, and then it just literally fell off the radar, no pun intended, and then it came back after Bernard Eastland's 1987 patents put in motion the building of HARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project up in Gakona, Alaska, an ionospheric heater that we had several then, but not on that scale. And HARP really moved things along quite quickly. Often, if you read about it, it'll say that it didn't start until 2005, but really it started up in the late 90s. And it's hard to remember all the weather that we've had since then and the unusual, the anomalies in weather. But I go into that in the 2014 book and look at the hurricanes like Katrina, Sandy, you know, what happened in Indonesia, what happened in Haiti, and really take a look at these and how they can be created by these ionospheric heaters, and certainly HARP was involved in most of those. So so a lot of weather control is the first thing on a planetary level, and the space fence is now absolutely running, absolutely. I'm positive, I'm certain it's being run by Lockheed Martin.
Hmm.
Lockheed Martin owns all the patents for that.
You can be that specific about that?
Can be, yes, yes. Okay. It's all there on the net because Lockheed Martin is very proud of the space fence. They make it sound in their promo videos that it's just a couple of installations, but truthfully, I know it is all these instruments on the ground and in near-Earth orbit are all calibrated to work together if need be. So if you want a, you know, you want a hurricane somewhere, you want a tornado, you want a drought, you can actually calibrate it in that specific area, and it's a done deal. So I'm often asked, is there any natural weather? Well, the only natural weather I know of is on the south, you know, coming off the South Pacific, and it's quickly picked up by the geoengineers and all the instruments that it takes to move the weather along, prevent it from raining in California or allow it to rain in California as it's coming off the South Pacific, move it north up to where the jet stream is humped and parked over Vancouver Island, and then, you know, put it on the jet stream and move it east for weather events in the east like tornadoes. Recently, what were they having all the way into summer practically? All that flooding that was going on
in the Midwest, yeah.
And we recently heard about in Guadalajara, full-on snowstorm.
It was like 3 feet of ice.
Yes, and you know, and the cover story is climate change, and you know, we've had conferences on that, and of course, I was waiting, listening to these conferences in 2015, these seminal conferences on climate. And not once was military agenda mentioned. It was, in fact, it seemed to be me to be assiduously avoided. So we have these cover stories that make it look like it's our cars causing carbon buildup, and you know, now we all need to pay carbon taxes. When the truth is much more that we are conducting a space program. And the number one part of that is full spectrum dominance over planet Earth. And that comes straight from the Soviet, I think he was, let's see, his name was Nikolai Kardashev, a Soviet astronomer, said that there were three things that any civilization aspiring to a space age needs to command. And the first one is full spectrum dominance over the home planet. The second one is control over one star, that would be the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And the third is control over one's galaxy and its system. So it seems to me that that we have begun phases one and two without public knowledge. And I'm just concerned. There's no way I can stop a space program. I realize that. I'm not completely...
You can get the word out as you're doing it, but you can't stop it.
Yeah, so that people can take care of themselves in the fallout, the detritus that's coming from this this release of not just heavy metal nanoparticles, but nanobots, and all these sensors that, you know, because they're wanting a lot of data. And we're, because they're all so tiny, we're breathing them and eating them and drinking them. And I want people to know that.
Now, you have been studying the CIA's MK Ultra mind control programs for years.
Yep.
Is there any tie-in with that?
Well, certainly there's a mind control piece here, and it's a very serious one. Actually, I was listening today to a video about 5G. Of course, 5G is on everyone's minds. And, you know, I've kind of dug into the 5G a little beyond what a lot of people are spending time on.
There's some concerns there.
Yeah, because the 5G, as I say, in Under an Ionized Sky, appears to be the linchpin by which we will be fully immersed in the mesh, you know, that neuro mesh I was talking about, that our entire environment, the wirelessness and all of the towers and all of the antennas now that are getting tinier and tinier, and the phased array antennas in particular, which are in the 4G phone, and will be in the 5G phone as well. And the phased array is really a very, very scary thing, particularly when you're talking millimeter wave size. And the ability to steer and the ability to target will amp up once we're enmeshed in this neural mesh. Then it's as if we're just a constant moving target that can now be tracked in a variety of ways through the Internet of Things. So that's mind control right there. That's not just mind control. That's control over your endocrine system, control over your genetics, control over everything that's going on. And so much is going on with mind control now. I mean, if you asked me what happened to MK Ultra, they say it ended in 73. That's a real joke. It went black. It came up. When it came up, it was electromagnetic and remote. And now almost all mind control, to my knowledge, is done remotely. And this, with all these nanoparticles and these nanobots in us, robots on a nanoscale, gosh, can you imagine the programming? Because these things are transmitters and receivers. They are not just dead matter. They've been programmed to respond to fusion centers or whatever you want to call them. And so what does that say about mind control? Will we really be slaves without even knowing that we're slaves? Because we've been maybe programmed also to feel really good about our role in society and about what we're doing in our lives. I mean, I think if they're going to take it as far as they can, they certainly have taken it an amazing distance in just a few years. I mean,
technologies help that.
Yes, and the technology that's being born every day is blowing our minds because it's just an avalanche.
Of all the technology that they have out there, Ilana, is there anything that you think is worthwhile for us, that it's good?
Gosh, now you've really challenged me.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't own a cell phone. I'm probably the only person in my town. Yeah, I feel it's a military weapon and that they're pulsing people. And I'm even starting to warn people that if they get a thought or a feeling that, you know, and I've had people say this to me and write me, that doesn't seem like theirs. That's not what they would think. That's not how they would feel. And I'm saying to them, it's very possible that you're being pulsed through your phone. And if you're really wise, you'll treat that phone more like a weapon than just a toy. It's convenience. It's much more than that. I mean, every piece of technology they've given us, George, has first belonged to the military for at least a generation.
Oh, before we get it, sure.
Yes.
They try it out that way. Same with the Internet.
Yes, and the Internet included. Yes, all of it. So is it good? Yes, it's good. I mean, you can't say technology is evil or satanic. It is what you make it. My concern is
Or in whose hands it falls into.
Yes, everything is being weaponized. That I do know. I mean, all the way to culture, too. Education, sexuality, all of these things are being tampered with. And that, to me, proves that we're on the road to transhumanism and that we need to really take a close look at what life would be like under an AI and with an AI running our lives, everything in our lives. And that's what it, the picture is so mind-boggling that I understand people can only take it piecemeal, you know, look at this part and look at that part. And I'm thrilled that so many people now are becoming aware of the possibilities of vaccinations not being friendly, the possibility of electromagnetic devices not being friendly, the AMA, GMOs. I mean, people are awakening to one thing after another, but it's all so overwhelming. It's very hard for people to really get hold of that. So I'm more and more concentrating on health and bolstering the immune system so at least people will not be distracted by huge medical bills and fear and anxiety over their health and their children's health.
Ilana Freeland with us, the book Under an Ionized Sky. Ilana, where can people get the book?
Of course, Amazon. And Feral House is my publisher, and it is available in, well, it's available in my library and bookstores. I mean, any bookstore that has a distributor can get hold of the book.
Absolutely.
You can order it right there.
When you look at transhumanism, what does that mean to you?
To me, now that I'm more educated about it, it means not enhancement, which is how they sell it to people, that, you could be a great athlete, you'll be stronger, you'll be smarter, you'll be everything. No, this is about the brain-computer interface, BCI, and that's the cyborg. That is the androgene that will be created out of the human being now. I mean, we've seen some of it in that we have experienced being conditioned to think of sensitivity and compassion and all of these wonderful traits that we've ascribed to our great human beings and saints, etc. But now we're looking at them as weaknesses. And the idea of plugging us in through nanobots already in our bloodstream and in our brains to AI systems that will be running the smart city and, are all hooked up with the satellites, with everything in the ground infrastructure of the space fence. Once we're plugged in, that is transhumanism.
All right, we're going to come back and take phone calls with Ilana next on Coast to Coast AM.